You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll hear about staffing shortfalls and other problems at veterans facilities here in the state. First, Governor Walker declared a state of emergency last week in Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties. That came after torrential rains hit southeast Wisconsin and caused widespread flooding. The waters are starting to recede, but for people affected by the flooding, there's still plenty to do. The state's Department of Health Services released guidelines today for people dealing with damage, saying there are still hazards to watch out for during cleanup. Jeff Phillips joins me now. He's director of the Bureau of Environmental and Occupational Health at Wisconsin's Department of Health Services. Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having us on this afternoon.
Well, when we think about flood, of course, we think about the immediate damage and immediate risks, and we talked about that some last week, but that doesn't mean the problems are over. What are the kind of risks that remain after the waters start to go away?
Well, you know, as the water starts receding, a lot of the damage that's caused when people's basements flood or when their homes get flooded the first level, we start thinking about things like mold beginning to form. We want to make sure that as people are trying to reenter their homes, they're having their electronic stove and refrigerator and those types of appliances checked. We want to make sure that their furnaces and their air conditioning units, all those types of things that could potentially cause safety hazards, we want to make sure that they've been looked at, inspected. Hopefully, we've got some electrical inspectors in the area that can think about making sure that the electrical supply systems into those homes are being taken care of as well. And then lastly, we're thinking about the food and the types of supplies that may be within that home. Certainly, we want to make sure that people are thinking about food safety and getting rid of things that look like they've been damaged or contaminated, or places where we've lost power, making sure that anything that would be required to be refrigerated is just discarded to keep people safe from the food safety end of things.
Let's dig into those a little deeper now. Let's start with that mold issue. Obviously, a huge problem after something like Hurricane Katrina, but even smaller flooding incidents like this can be a problem. As the water starts to go away, what can people do in their homes or their businesses?
Well, the first thing is if the basement has been flooded and if you've got block walls or you've got solid walls, our first step would be to do a cleanup, a cleaning with a bleach solution and water. Good scrubbing probably will take care of the potential for mold growth after the water has been gone and cleaned up. If you've got furniture or drywall or paneling or things like that in the basement, quite often we would just suggest that all be removed, because as you get moisture behind the drywall or as you get moisture behind the paneling in that basement, or as all those furniture pieces get wet, you're not going to be able to dry them adequately, and you're going to end up with mold growth in a relatively short time. Certainly, we're thinking of reminding people to remove that, get rid of it, kind of start from scratch. If people need professional services, certainly there are private businesses out there that do mold cleanup and renovation and restoration, and we would just suggest that people contact their local health department or look through their Better Business Bureau to get connected with those types of businesses if that's the direction they wish to go.
I've seen some communities after flooding will have extra garbage pickup to get rid of those soaked pieces of furniture or paneling and things like that. I think that's going on in Burlington, but is that something people should check out post-flood?
That's exactly right. We would suggest that people certainly contact their local public health agencies. In that area, the Western Racine County Health Department, Walworth County Health Department, and Kenosha County Health Departments all have information up on their websites, but certainly people could get a hold of them and find out what's going on to get that kind of stuff removed, those heavy rubbish items.
And Jeff, in a couple months from now, say, what kind of signs should we watch out for that, hey, we might have mold that we didn't catch right off the bat?
I think the biggest thing is certainly if you can see mold, you've got a moisture problem, right? So anything that would have been damaged and you can see that that's mold contaminated, remove it. In those areas where it might be hidden, or you might have seepage or something like that people weren't aware of, a lot of times it just becomes the odor, right? You can smell that moldy, musty issue, and at that point we would suggest looking to see where that moisture is coming from. If it's a substrate, if it's the back of drywall, if, you know, those types of things, it doesn't take much moisture to actually allow mold growth. We've seen situations in past flooding events where a little bit of moisture on that cardboard on the back side of drywall is enough to let mold grow through the drywall and onto the interior side of it.
Talking to Jeff Phillips from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, looking at things to watch out for after a flood goes away. Of course, we saw that flooding in Burlington and elsewhere last week in Wisconsin, still cleaning up there. Jeff, how about people with well water? Are there things, does a flood present a hazard to them?
It certainly does. If people are on a private water supply, a private well, and they know that that well has gone underwater or has been, you know, has had at least surface water up near to the top of that well, our first thought would be go ahead and have that well disinfected. If people wish to do that disinfection procedure on their own, they can look at the Department of Natural Resources website at dnr.wi.gov. If they look under, you know, if they search for flood, the DNR has a really nice step-by-step procedure for disinfection of that well. We would suggest that if you know that the well has been contaminated, disinfect it first, follow the process, and then sample after the disinfection is completed. That way, you know, we will be getting basically a clean water supply, hopefully, and people will know that their supply is been taken care of. If people are not sure whether or not that well went underwater or whether or not they've been impacted with surface water, most of those local health departments that I said before will have sample kits available. People can do a bacteria test and make sure that if their water is contaminated, we know that to go ahead and do the disinfection procedure. If it comes back safe, we know that they're in good condition at that point. People also have the opportunity, if they're not sure and waiting for the sample results, they should be finding bottled water or something that they know is coming from a safe supply until they can confirm that well is safe or not.
That release we mentioned from the Department of Health Services mentioned, hey, it's not just the physical stuff, not just the food contamination you mentioned earlier. Mental health and well-being can be an issue for people who have lived through this kind of natural disaster. What kind of advice do you have for people?
You know, again, I think touching base with the local health department and finding the resources in those areas to handle that stress and that mental health perspective would be very appropriate. You know, there are providers out there, but I think, you know, knowing who's in the immediate area, I would say people touching with their local health departments would be able to get some pretty good advice as to where we can get some mental health counseling.
Off the top of my head, I can think of flooding in the last bunch of years in northern Wisconsin, Gays Mills in western Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Now southeastern Wisconsin. We all could see this in our area. What are some preventative measures we can take to protect ourselves from that hypothetical future flood?
You know, I think the biggest thing is really thinking about, you know, being knowledgeable about your environmental surroundings, where you live, knowing that if you're in an area that tends to be flooded, having a plan in place where you know where you're going to go or know who you're going to contact, working very closely with your local environmental health department as well as your local emergency managers so that, you know, you can be familiar with how that community handles a flood event, where they're going to send people for sheltering, or where you're going to find the resources to help clean up. I think it's one of those things to know your community and to know who's doing what within that community.
We'll leave it there for now. Jeff, thanks a lot for taking the time.
All right. Thanks for having us, and we appreciate working with Public Radio.
That's Jeff Phillips, Director of the Bureau of Environmental and Occupational Health at Wisconsin's Department of Health Services. He joined us to talk about what to do after floodwaters recede after those torrential rains hit several Wisconsin counties last week. If you're one of our listeners in Burlington, good luck to you. I hope everything's cleaning up okay.